Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and my last conversation was with Tom Scotto. We discussed the pain and suffering in indoor cycling classes and actually in cycling as well, and the verbiage and whether it was appropriate, whether and when it is appropriate to use those terms to either motivate or perhaps even scare our students, and at least to teach them how to understand, you know, what is pain they should push beyond and what is pain they should not. Well, I brought someone here to talk to us in a little more detail about this, Dr. Haley Perlis. She is an expert on the mental side of coping with pain and suffering. She works with a lot of athletes, and both, you know, on the injury side and helping them learn with that, but also on the competition and performance end of, you know, doing what they're doing can be painful at times, so they just have to learn to use their minds to get beyond it. So welcome, Haley. Good to talk with you again.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we wanted to, you know, you and I were discussing this, and it still is true that there does come a point in time where we get acid buildup and energy depletion, where our physical body is saying, okay, we've had enough here. But for the last several years, lots of research, more and more every day, is demonstrating that our minds actually fatigue before our bodies do. And so we've learned through this research that this thing we call pain threshold is actually more psychological than it is physical, and that it's not something that is static, that can't be changed. And in fact, we're going to talk about several psychological tools, but using these tools, we can actually control that pain threshold and, you know, tell it to, well, put a hold on for a little bit, because I got 20 more minutes here, or I've got, you know, another hill to climb. So hold on for a second, and we can change our minds to focus on specific things that get us through that pain. It's not going to eliminate the pain, but it's going to help us cope with that pain and suffering. And the basic premise is this, and it really comes down to two innate drives. As human beings, we have two driving forces. One is to seek pleasure, and two is to avoid pain. But when we're taking an indoor cycling class, when we're outside cycling, that we have to condition our minds to, even though we may be feeling a little bit of pain and suffering, we have to condition our minds that the ultimate goal here is to seek pleasure, as opposed to focusing on doing whatever we can to avoid that pain and suffering. Does that make sense?
It does, and it's kind of paradoxical in that pain, if you will, can bring us pleasure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we can focus more on the pleasure of it and almost tolerate and work with the pain.
Would you ignore the pain?
Yeah, we're not going to ignore it. Well, we're not going to ignore it, but we're definitely going to, in some cases, change the way we view it, change our perceptions of it. And on the other hand, use it. Because if we don't use it, you know, you had mentioned the word scare.
Yeah.
Fear. And fear is an acronym for forget everything and run.
Oh.
Yeah. And the last thing we want to do is run away, because we've got some goals. We've got some results that we want to achieve.
Okay.
We don't want to turn around and run. So we need to use it to our advantage. And first and foremost, though, before we get into those psychological tools, it's extremely important, and I teach my athletes this all the time, we have to learn to be able to identify what is functional pain and what is non-functional pain.
Would non-functional pain be the one that would hurt us and injure? It comes from an injury and it doesn't do us any good.
Yes. Stop what you're doing, because this is dangerous. What you're doing, because this is not, we're not helping ourselves here. We're hindering ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing is that there's really no objective way to measure that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, I mean, you almost have to, through trial and error, learn, oh, I shouldn't have gone beyond that last one because now my knee is swollen. Or
Exactly. Yeah. And so in this respect, before we even dive into those psychological tools, in order to distinguish between functional and non-functional pain, is we have to use that pain that we're feeling as information. You know, where is it coming from and why is it happening? And, you know, non-functional pain, and again, there's really no objective way to measure it, but, you know, are you feeling a sharp, sharp pain? Are you feeling a pain in your chest? You know, are you getting severe cramps? These are types of things that we need to be aware of.
Yeah. And or if it's, in cycling, what happens a lot is a sharp pain in the knee. So in the joint, whether it's in the chest or in a joint or the back.
Right. And it continues to get worse and worse and worse, right?
Yeah.
Whereas functional pain, even though it can seem like it's getting worse because it's not going away anytime soon, you're still fighting through it. It's not this like sharpness that the more I do it, the worse it gets. It's just this pain that's there. And, you know, you can tell. It's very subjective, but you can tell whether you can work with it or whether you should stop.
Right. Well, you can tell usually after. A new person is probably going to have to learn whether that is something that should make them stop. And again, I go back to the example of a pain in the joint. There's very few times, there's really no time where that could ever be functional.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, you know, breathing really hard and feeling your heart, you know, your heart racing, you've got to learn, is this going to help me or do I need to back off?
Right. And it also, correct me if I'm wrong, you probably know this more than I do, but a functional pain, as soon as you stop the exercise, that pain will go away versus non-functional, that sharpness.
It could linger.
Exactly. Is another great way to assess.
Yes, and that trial and error I was talking about, that trial could happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could figure it out pretty quick.
Right.
And I also like to just talk about metabolic pain when you start going above your threshold. When you back off, it immediately goes away because you have now reduced your intensity and you're not creating all those byproducts which cause you that discomfort, breathing hard because you've built up too much CO2, or the burning sensation you feel in your muscles because you've built up too much acid and you've really gone totally anaerobic. All you have to do is let lighten up, hey, and it goes away.
Exactly. So that's really the first thing that we need to identify, because if it is non-functional, you need to stop and you need to get help or have it assessed or examined and figure out why that is happening. So it is telling you something, that information is there for a reason.
Right.
However, that's for another time. If it is functional pain, then what we want to do is it's almost like a skill. We want to develop the skill to push past it, cope with it, deal with it. Dealing with it is the best way I can explain as my objective here,
uh-huh,
is to learn how to deal with the pain. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about, and this is with any psychological skill, whether it's increasing our motivation, developing self-confidence, focusing on concentration techniques, the first and often a very quick fix is simply to become aware of the information. And in here, the information is that research has shown, so it is proven, that our minds become fatigued more than our bodies do. And just having that understanding and awareness of it often allows us to give our bodies more of a chance to succeed and to perform better.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that.
So, you know, it's very similar to picture a child who falls down in front of a group of adults. And that child falls down and maybe feel a little bit of pain here and there, but then looks up for a reaction. And if the reaction is, oh my goodness, are you okay? That child may then start to cry and say, yeah, I'm really hurt.
Yeah. So I think everyone can identify with that.
Exactly. On the other hand, if a child falls down and the parents, just kind of nonchalant and no big deal, that child will just move on and carry on.
And he's learned that it's no big deal.
Well, yeah, because he was looking around for someone to give it a psychological, to identify it psychologically in order for him to then label it, from a physical standpoint.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so the first step is really often awareness. And once we become aware of this pain, so once we start to feel this functional suffering, and we say to ourselves, okay, it's not non-functional, it's functional. I want to work through it. I know that my mind is fatigued more. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be aware of it and I'm going to accept it. And I'm going to accept it by talking to it, like, hey, buddy, I hear you. I feel you. I hear you, but I know that my body can give more. Let's get on with it.
That reminds me of a cue that I like to use when I'm in a segment that is real high intensity, and they only have like 20 seconds left or 30 seconds left, and I'll say, "You just tell that discomfort or that pain. You just say, 'Excuse me, pardon me, step aside. I'm coming through. I need to get there.'"
Exactly. Exactly. And especially now with that knowledge that it's your mind probably talking to you before your body is, that can make more sense. And yeah, you let it know. I hear you. I'm not ignoring you. I hear you, but we're gonna work through this together.
And so essentially, you're just kind of telling your body to shut up.
Yes, but it's funny because you're telling a part of your mind.
Oh, yeah. So Jens Voigt is famous for saying, "Shut up, legs." But
Yeah, but
really, he's just telling his mind to ignore his legs.
telling a part of his mind that's signaling to his body that he's in pain to shut up.
Okay.
Because
So.
it's our brains signal to our bodies, just as our bodies signal to our brains. And if we're experiencing emotional or mental fatigue, in that case, it's our mind signaling to our body that this is uncomfortable.
So we've got to ignore the mind part of it by using our mind in a way.
It's almost like tug of war, right? We got it. We
Yeah.
got it. Again, it's that whole point where we're going to grab onto the parts of our brain that are going to help us seek pleasure
Okay.
and tell the part of our brain that's focusing on avoiding pain to shut up.
All right.
So that would be the first thing, is that acceptance piece and awareness piece.
Okay, that's number one,
Yeah.
the first
Second,
tool.
the second psychological tool is to think that you can work through it. Think that you can deal with it. The fact is, and I'm sure you've had clients and instructors yourself who said this to you, it's almost like we can psych ourselves out before we even get on the bike in anticipation of the pain and suffering we're going to experience.
And not just in classes. I deal with this, taking people on bike rides or climbing up big hills. And before they even get there, they're almost defeated.
Exactly. You've psyched yourself out. You don't think that you can deal with it, or you're only focusing on the negative. So what you need to do is actually you have to believe that you can effectively work through the pain. Again, it is not believing that there won't be pain and suffering. We have to accept that there will be, but it's believing in your ability to work through it. And how do you do that? Well, by highlighting your strengths. By focusing on what qualities you have, what strengths you have that will help you get through that pain.
And do you do this prior to the event that you know is going to be painful, or do you do this in the moment as you're going through it, or both?
I think it's both, but definitely there's preparation involved.
Okay.
And I've even in my when I teach indoor cycling classes, and let's say I know it's going to be a tough climb involved, or we're going to be doing very hard intensities. I'll ask them to identify one strength that they have right now with them that they can bring to class. And it could be a couple of things. It could be, and I know you have your ultimate why, how strong is your
How big is your why?
why? So that in and of itself is a strength. Not many people, without getting the proper education and knowledge, take the time to really identify why they're doing this in the first place. And that big why, that is such a motivational strength that you can bring that with you. And we'll talk about that in a little bit in another tool.
It's almost like you're bringing along, it's your own personal coach who's with you there all the time. Just the knowledge that you have, you know what that compelling reason is that you're doing what you're doing.
Right. Right. So you bring your strengths to class or to your fitness session. And what you do with those strengths is one of two things. You can either recall past sessions where you've gone through a hard ride, and you can remember how you got through it with your strengths.
Knowledge that it did pass.
Yes, and which we'll talk about in a bit as well. Or what you can do is you can use your visualization, your imagery, and imagine this coming up session and how you're going to use your strength to deal with the pain and suffering.
And what would you visualize?
Well, you'd visualize yourself getting to this point where the legs are talking to you, right? So you're feeling that pain, you're feeling that level of discomfort, and you're either going to, and if we're using the big why, so we'll focus on that strength, and you imagine yourself tuning the pain out and tuning into that big why and working with the pain to get you to that big why. So you're using the strength, your strength, as well as the pain to get you through it.
So let's say we're talking about a 3-minute high intensity interval. And you're a minute into it and you have 2 minutes more. So you've got to, you visualize, having done this before, we did this a few weeks ago, I got through it, is one way. And then secondarily, I got 2 minutes more. What do I have to do to get me through this? I know that getting through this, I will reach my goal, or my goal is weight loss or, you know, performance or whatever that why is. So you just bring it to your conscious attention during each effort?
Absolutely. At those moments, absolutely. Because that's where the pleasure is. The pleasure.
There you go.
Pleasure is in the ultimate, in the big why.
Right. Okay. Achieving the goal.
Achieving the goal. And that's our seeking pleasure.
Right. You know, this, in talking about this like this, it seems like such common sense. Of course you would do this. But in the moment when you're suffering, you don't think about this. And that's why the instructors listening to this use these tools to help remind your students why they're here.
Well, a great thing that I am, when I'm presenting, I always tell my instructors to do, and you know, again, it's all preparation, but it's something that would get your participants to work through this pain, but also help you stand out, is to bring in cue cards and markers.
Yeah.
And before you get to class early and put a cue card and a marker on every handlebar. And what you do is you ask every participant as they come into class or as together before you start your warm up is to write down what's one thing they want to get out of today. What is their big why? And you get them to write it down on that cue card in as few words as possible. We don't need more than 3 to 5 words.
Yeah.
And what happens when we become mentally, what happens when we become tired, or, you know, we tend to drop our heads. And then what you'll see there on the handlebar is your ultimate why.
Oh, that is perfect.
You know, Kate Pace, who's a former alpine ski racer, she used to do this all the time. And especially on the bike, she would write on her cue card, not necessarily her ultimate why, but definitely an affirmation that got her totally focused on the pleasure. She wrote down on her cue card, if I don't work hard today, somebody else is.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can imagine, like, the head comes up and
yep.
This new intense energy, and she's focusing on the pleasure of winning her race as opposed to the pain and suffering that she was enduring during the process.
Wow. Now, you know, I started thinking when you first started talking about this particular tool of basically it's a positive mindset, think you can. My first thought was, you know, to develop the positive concept that I can accomplish this climb. But then I realized, as we discussed it, that's even macro. This is even more micro than that. You're talking about, you think you can, I can accomplish overcoming this pain, this short-term pain.
Right. It's thinking that you can, it's believing that you can deal with it.
Okay.
It's believing that you have the power, determination, ability to deal with it.
So it can be both the macro as well as the micro.
Absolutely.
In the moment.
You can recall past sessions or you can imagine new ones. Because you're either using evidence from the past or you're creating evidence to help you now.
Well, these are great, Haley. That's two of the five tools for learning how to cope with pain and suffering, discomfort that we put our students through. And we are going to move on to the next three. So there's three more really great tools that I'm really excited to share with everyone. Those are going to be on a separate audio for members of the Indoor Cycling Association. I know that what we've talked about already is very valuable and it's for everyone to use. But if you are interested in becoming a member of the Indoor Cycling Association, just click on the link on the page where you brought up this audio and you can learn more. So thank you, Haley. We're going to talk about in a little bit those next three tools.
Thanks, Jennifer.